Welcome to In the Flow with your hosts, Amy and Layla,
where we dive into all things intuition, spirituality, and the behind the scenes of two intuitive channels.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this special episode of In the Flow podcast with Amy and Layla. Today, we are doing a mentor session for our Soulwise LA community. We're so happy to have our friends join us. And again, if this is your first time hearing the news, Soulwise LA is now open community. So we'd love for you to join as well and get behind the scenes in some of our mentoring sessions and some of our podcasts, along with our guided meditations and a library of tons of content to support you on your spiritual path. So welcome, Layla. How are you, girl?
Oh, I'm good. And I'm excited to be here. We already have some questions that flowed in through our email. And then we have some people here as well. Soulwise LA members, hopefully, who have some good questions for us to jump into. So I'm excited to do it in this way, in this platform, and kind of move things around a little bit.
Yeah, it feels fun and fresh, like all new. Yes.
And I think today is the equinox, is it not? I don't know how I missed that, but I saw somebody post it. So happy equinox.
Yes, happy spring. And it does feel like spring. I was out this morning and the birds are just singing songs, going wild. I love it. It feels great. So yeah, do you want to, what's the first question do you feel like flowing in with?
Well, we can flow in with an email question unless someone has something they know they want to really talk about and want to raise their hand or put into the chat. If not, we can pop up this email here. So I'll go ahead and open that up really quickly, Amy.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to read the one that came through first for you?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that one.
So we had a question come in that said, I'm curious of how our oversoul line or origin affects us. Nicole mentioned, and Nicole is somebody who works with Amy, and Amy, you can describe that a little more if you want, that our oversoul does help us to define and feel our path, but we didn't have enough time to go into it more. Also, how do the lives of other beings in our oversoul group affect us? Is it easier for us to access the knowledge and wisdom that they have since we came from the same oversoul line? And there's another part to it. Do you want me to wait?
Let's stop there and we'll continue. Or I'm going to be like, where are we? Yeah. So Nicole is my friend and we channeled together, and she was a guest on Soulwise LA a couple months ago. And that's when I think this first came through. And so if you guys are interested in that meditation, you can find it in the Soulwise LA library. And we were working with channeling the higher self and the oversoul information. So our oversoul frequency is a combination of all of our energetic vibration, signature, wisdom, and knowledge in our family when we're not in a physical body, let's say. So a way to talk about it is we start with source. And from source, we then go out and have experiences. So many of the souls will go into different realms, different dimensions, and some are more physical than others. So you will have some souls that go into what are called angelic realms or choirs of angels, and some will go into star realms or come straight to earth as a human. And who knows what else, like fairies, elementals, it could be any or all of it. So the question is, let's go with the question about, is it important to know our soul origins? And it's as important as you make it be. So when you find that it would support you, you're going to be led to that information. You'll be led to others that can, like it's a remembrance. They feel very familiar. Their energy is very similar to yours. It kind of feels like home. You recognize like, oh my gosh, are we soul sisters? Are we twins? Like it feels so close to your own signature. And the benefit is that it can remind you who you are, and it can also help us to remember that we're not alone. And even if we're having challenging time in life, that there's other beautiful experiences beyond this one reality. It can also help us if we're accessing gifts and if there's information that we might be called to utilize in this lifetime. So there is a benefit to it, but it's not necessary. And I wouldn't stress people get upset if they don't know their soul origin. So I found out mine as I needed to, because I actually had questions and that was a part of the answer, but I didn't go out really asking like for details about specific soul spaces. And over time, I was even led into more information about other soul realms that I've been at. So the soul realm and the oversoul is kind of the same. The oversoul is the part of us that's had lifetime in many different realms, many different realities. And when we talk about tuning in with our higher self, sometimes we use the term oversoul. And we can also say there's some teachers that call it the infinite self. The light, I always like to call it like the light of who you are, your soul song or signature or vibration. What's interesting is you can get information if you're channeling or in meditation that's very specific to you. And it really is a part of knowing your whole path and intention for being here. So if you were to go into meditation and ask a spirit guide or an archangel or a deceased loved one a question, you're going to get all different kinds of perspectives. And when you go to your higher self or oversoul frequency, you're going to have information there that's accessing all these different timelines and points of information from your own experiences. So yeah, how does that feel to you, Layla? Anything else you want to add or share?
I loved how you explained it and how I've received it in the Akashic and with my own guides as well, is almost as though just the same as you would drop a pebble and that might be an action or a thought or a feeling and you drop into the water and it ripples out, in the same way, it will ripple back in almost, and everything affects everything. So it doesn't just ripple out to the other like lives that you are currently experiencing, whether we're talking about linear time or through your soul's energy, it all affects each other. And so what I do right now and the choices I make affect my other lives, affect my parallel lives. It also affects my ancestry. It helps that heal. It affects my future lives and my children's lives as it continues to move on. So, yes, I do believe that other lives can affect us to a certain extent, and it can help us learn different lessons, heal, and we can help heal other lives, and we can pull in the wisdom. It all is based upon how me or you as your frequency, like your frequency of, you know, Layla or Amy or Sharon is currently experiencing to the lives that I might be more easy for me to access. So we're not going to necessarily be able to access information or energy that we isn't at the same frequency level that we are. So as you continue to heal and clear up any kind of karma or self-limiting beliefs or anything like that, then it's almost as though your consciousness expands and is able to access those other lives that we're talking about that are in the same thread as your oversoul. And that's where like new abilities kind of come online, or you have new lives, past lives or future lives kind of come into play because you've now raised the frequency here to be able to access that. And it makes sense for you to be able to connect into that frequency. So I think it's all happening at the same time. We are connecting to our other lives in our oversoul or higher self. In a way that, and I'm seeing it like a pulsation out and a pulsation in. So anything I'm doing is affecting them and back. How's that feel, Amy?
Yeah, it feels really good. Were they also asking about other soul members of our oversoul, or was it the aspects of ourself?
Let's see. Also, how do the lives of other beings in our oversoul group affect us? Is it easier for us to access the knowledge that they have since we came from the same oversoul line?
Okay. Yeah. So like if you're doing a reading or you're tuning in for somebody who's from a particular oversoul realm, then if the information is related to that realm, I would say yes. And I've had sessions with people where I don't even know how the information came in, but it did, that there would be other people from their soul family incarnated in a physical body, but in other parts of the world. But they went, like, I remember some people saying I had dreams about them. So they can make a connection in the spirit way, in astral realm, dream time realm. And we can feel really supported knowing that we're not here alone. We actually have family, even if we haven't met them in the physical. And then also when we do meet people in the physical, if we're doing readings, I think the information comes through a lot stronger. Like for me, I know I can just feel it so intensely in my body. There's that resonation, like that synergy where it's like, whoa, it's really amplified. And that is how people sometimes will say, oh, I feel like I know you. And what's interesting is sometimes you'll be meeting somebody and it's like, oh, I feel like I know you. And it might be like a good feeling or a not so good feeling. And if you go a little bit deeper, it's like, well, how is it another lifetime or is it outside of this reality? And so usually when it's somebody from an oversoul life, it feels more pure and clean and warm and peaceful. Like, okay, I recognize, it's like that namaste. I recognize the light of God in you because I understand that frequency. And I can understand the gifts that you are embodying and how you're bringing that to the earth, because I've had an encounter or access to the same frequency and gifts. So to that way, I think it is beneficial. And it's just kind of like a wink from spirit, like, hey, this is really, you know, just to let you guys know you're not alone. And it's kind of like this enhancement to understanding that life is eternal, where it's not just this one lifetime. And it doesn't always happen. So then when it does, it's kind of quite nice. I would say I've also had people take that in a way that I would say is like not conscious or out of alignment, in that, oh, I met somebody, we're soul family, so it doesn't matter what we do here, like we can all figure it out after. So some spiritual bypassing has come into that and things that I've witnessed. And so it's like, just because you have past lives with somebody or you call them a soulmate or what have you, soul family, keep it clean. Cause like Layla was saying, it all affects everything. And I think that if you're aware of this information, then I would consider you a highly conscious spiritual being. And I would hope you would stay up to that standard, but I've seen people fall out of alignment by doing dirty to their soul family. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way. I don't, it's like, I just don't get that. But yeah, it all affects through all different timelines for sure. Positive, or if somebody is being silly, you're going to feel it and know it.
100%. And the next question was, how do the lives of other individual soul fragments or parts impact lives of our other individuals, so our soul? And I think that's what I answered first, and that's how I read it. And then now I'm reading it, this the middle one being about like soul family and the connection to that, and do they have and those are really when we come in sometimes with collective missions too. So I don't know if you've ever like reading into, you know, you come in with your own mission, your own contracts, but then sometimes there's collective missions where you kind of tap back into different soul family members and stuff like that as well. Yeah. Okay. Does anyone have any questions or anything like that before we move on to the next one?
Feel free to raise your hand or put it in the chat for those that are here live. Yeah, but I do like the part you're talking about, the soul fragmentation, Layla. So it does affect everything. And the more healed we are and less reactive we are, I feel like we're able to heal and move through those things. And we feel even somebody in our life now has done something, or they're going through something, or something's happening in their reality, we can feel it and sense it. So it's all related. It's all connected to those who are sensitive and in tune. And so the way to manage that, I have felt, is always to stay strong in my light, have a lot of peace come through, and just, you know, ask for support to help people that are in a challenging space, and just like a lot of positive blessing, prayers, and intention. So, and it doesn't matter what point in time, because it does ripple through.
Yes, 100%. And I'm going to go ahead and, I guess, do you want me to read the next question, or do you want to read the question to me?
You can read it because I don't have it pulled up.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'll have it. Okay. This question has to do with self-trust and asking for signs. They're saying, I'm wondering whether signs can come in a way that we might not anticipate specifically by reading the word rather than seeing an image or hearing someone else say it. And also whether our team might not show us a sign because they're encouraging for us to lean deeper into self-trust. And so this question I recently actually just kind of talked about a little bit on my recent post. But yes, I have been, you can receive signs in so many different ways that can be different than just, you know, someone saying something to you or you seeing a sign. It can be, you almost feel like activated when you feel called to maybe go to a book and you're like, I have this book on my bookshelf. I don't know why. You start reading and you get to a certain line and it's like you can feel an energy moving through you. This happened a lot when I was first opening up, especially with some of the channeled work that I was reading, and I would feel the energy of, oh, this is meant for me. This is meant for me right now. The question I had asked yesterday, or I'm currently going through, and it would almost feel like an energetic activation and, or also the message that I needed to receive, which is kind of one in the same. And so sometimes, you know, just asking for an image from your guides or asking for a sign, it can really be a little bit convoluted and you can get a little confused of what it fully means. So when you receive it in a text and or read it, it also has, it has information around it. It has a little more guidance and it can be what leads you into, usually I read that and then it leads me to Google, what does this mean? And then I get a whole nother book and it leads me down a whole kind of, you know, mystery opening of something that I was needed to access for me. And then also, will your guides pull, like, not answer you at times and or not give you that sign because they're wanting you to lean onto your self-trust? Yes, in a way. For me personally, I have asked, and if I ask over and over and over the same sign and I'm like just kind of pedaling around and I'm like, well, why didn't I get it for the 17th time? I'm actually about to launch it, or I'm actually about to sell, I'm about to put myself out there. Why didn't I get it? And it's kind of like, you know, we can use our guides and our signs as a crutch. And to a certain extent, they'll really kind of pad us when we're first starting. We're really kind of anchoring. We're doing something new. I feel like my guides really showed out. Like, they were doing all the things to make me feel and sense and all that kind of stuff. But then as I continued to go forward, they kind of were like, okay, you need to trust yourself. You already know the answer. We've given you the answer. And I remember one time I didn't get a sign and they were like, you are the sign. You are the sign. Go and do it. And I was like, okay. And I do feel as though they'll pull back as you continue to, if you're like up leveling and moving to another energetic level where you are wanting to feel like you can trust yourself more. Maybe you've been calling in more of an embodied spiritual approach. Well, then, you know, we have to trust ourselves. And so I do feel at times our guides will pull back and they'll kind of come back in to give us the space to realize the lesson that we need, that we always have the answer within us. And they don't ever want to give us the answer in that way. They don't want to tell us what to do. They just want to support us in having a higher sense of awareness and clarity on what we're moving through. And so if they feel like you're using them as a crutch, not that they get upset, but if it's hindering your own higher self and your own soul's expression and moving in this lifetime, you will sometimes create a little bit of a pullback. And then as soon as I go do the thing, I receive sign after sign after sign after sign. It's like, oh, it's like been building up in the lotto and it just all kind of throws out. So yeah. What do you think, Amy?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, to speak to something that just came through at the end was about, you're talking about, you know, using our guides as a crutch. So yes. And in those moments, I always say lean towards your own soul frequency, tap into your higher self, and with both, but even more so, I feel when you do tap into your higher self, you're taking on more accountability and responsibility. And I think sometimes our guides might think we're just depending on them too much. And we keep asking the same question over and over again until they're blue in the face. You know, they're answering us over and over. And then we're not taking any aligned action. We're not really listening to them. And it's like, you guys know, if you have people that just aren't listening to you, at some point you kind of stop returning the information, you stop talking back, or maybe you take a pause and then you have to say it in a different way. So really be aware that this is a relationship, and to be respect like on both sides of it. So if you're asking for signs, And maybe you say you need 3-4. Okay. You have a number and that's good. But if you're like 17, 20, you know, like, come on now. So yeah, probably spirit's going to be like, we've told you how many times. So I wanted to share that. And then also there's so many different ways that you can receive information. So I always like it to come in different forms. So reading in a text, having somebody say something, signs on a billboard or a decal on a car, social media, if you're on, yeah, like the songs, or sometimes in the morning, I'll wake up with a song playing in my head, or a friend will call. Maybe the topic they want to talk about is the exact topic that's been on your mind. So we can be receiving information. Spirit works in amazing ways. Like, we can receive information through all different forms and facets. And at some point too, they might say, I don't really know any other way to get this detailed to you. Like, I've told you 5 different ways. How else can we do this? So at times they will pull back. I always feel though it's more like if it's something that's really important, it just won't leave my awareness, and I'll feel the energy within me just building and or like pushing me forward and calling me to look at it. And if it's something that's like, maybe it's like a choice point, it's not going to affect my soul mission either way, I might feel it come around a little bit, and then I decide not to act on it, and it goes away. Like, that opportunity goes away. So it's all about accountability as well. And how important is that particular piece of information? How relevant is that action to our life? So if you're learning something, I found if we're learning and we're in training, we'll get signs many times. And then it's up to us to step into it. And if we don't, then they'll just finally kind of step back. So either way, like, every time is kind of a little bit different, but overall, they usually step back if you're leveling up and they're calling you to trust yourself more and, you know, trust the information or go into your soul frequency for the information, or if they've told you so many times that they can't like they just can't anymore. So probably I repeated half of what you said, Layla, but
it's all good. It's another flavor of it. So it's good.
Yes. Yes.
And then I think, how about we jump over to the chat? Amy, if you want to be, do you want to jump on the first one that came through at 4:21?
Okay. Yes. All right. So the question is, hello, I was wondering why I don't feel my energy when I'm holding space for others. I can feel or see the reaction of others when my energy creates a shift, but I don't always feel my energy or go into conversation with the intention to hold the space. It just happens. So here's the thing. You have really strong, clean energy, and to you, it's natural. But to somebody else, it feels like a breath of fresh air or a whole new temperature. So it might only take you 1% of your energy, but to them, it feels like 1,000 volts of lightning. You know, they can just really sense it. And so this happens when we do energy work too, with people that are in a delicate space, children, elderly, or those who might be like in a compromised health situation. They're in a fragile state of energy. They can only handle so much. And so you would want to just let whatever emanates off of you assist them. It's so natural to you. It feels so like, it's like lukewarm water. You can't even feel the difference, but they can. And that's why. So what's interesting, and I find really quite beautiful, is that you're noticing, or people are giving you feedback that they can sense your energy. They can feel something healing or something special about you. You don't even try to hold space, but you are, right? And that's like one of the calling cards or signs of true light worker. Do you want to say earth angel, healer, whatever you, like you resonate most with? Is that just by showing up, you're doing so much work. And I think this is so important because a lot of people forget that, or they don't quite realize it. And so there's many of us who you could say are like quiet or undercover, and we're doing so much of our light mission out in the general public, having what you would say like a traditional job, or in our community, not being showing up with like the label of an energy healer, but look what you're doing. You are helping heal and hold space. So that's why I'm just looking back. I don't always feel my energy or go into conversations with the intention. Yeah. Cause they only need a little bit of your energy to really help shift and wake them or help heal them. And they can feel the difference. So anything you want to share to this, Layla?
No, I think that was perfect. And, you know, yeah, I experienced that as well. I'm like, why don't I feel like this energy like charging through me? And sometimes it feels good to feel that energy because it's validation for us that we are doing it. And so as you continue to do exactly what Amy was talking about or what we were talking about earlier, like, you know, raise your frequency, you won't feel it as much because it's just the walking embodiment of who you are. And so sometimes I'm like, well, let me feel something for a second. So I like, you know, hear that car start, I can feel that jump. And then it's like, okay, then it gets really smooth. But yeah, that was a perfect way to answer it. It's just you, your energy level versus what somebody else is different. And you're not going to feel it the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to go to the next chat question. We just have one more on email. So hopefully we'll jump on to that, make sure we get that. So this one is, I had a question about the last thing, soul families. I met someone who I know is soul family, but I feel like I should say goodbye to them for this life. As soon as I did, I keep seeing them every day. Part of me thinks maybe it's because I'm not meant to say goodbye, even though I think I should. So I'm going to go with how I would approach it, and then I'll let Amy respond. So for me, with soul family, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily supposed to be linked or stay together or be in each other's lives, like in an intense way throughout your whole lifetime. Sometimes soul family is supposed to come in and really play a role for you for something. Sometimes soul family is just there to bump up against and for you to remember light or remember something. And just the fact that you're seeing them every day, or you said, as soon as I did this, I kept seeing them every day. Part of me, I wouldn't take that as meaning as a sign that you guys are, that you did something wrong or that you're not supposed to separate. For one, I would go with what your heart is saying. If your heart is saying, hey, this is for the best right now to go on your own way for whatever reason, I'm sure there's a really big reason that you've moved through that makes sense for you. I would stick with that. Also know that sometimes it's their energy coming into you. It's also the, like, you know, universe and source. Maybe there's some contracts there, or there's some karma that you're clearing with maybe releasing relationships that are no longer serving you. And they're still kind of like wiring and firing, like they're still kind of moving around. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily there to pull you back or that it's the right thing for you. It just means that you're learning how to clear maybe an attachment style, or it's a lot of different things. So I wouldn't get stuck on that. Then it would mean that every person who, and this is drastic and I want to go drastic so I can create the black and white so we can see the finer, like subtle details. It's just the same as somebody who maybe stopped using and they have crave, and then they see they're around people all the time who are, you know, for the next month who are using, or they're getting in situations and it's like, oh, am I supposed to, is this for me? No, not at all. It's just it's an energy pattern that's in your system. And maybe that's why it's coming in. So I'm not saying this person's a drug. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, don't take that as a sign. Take your heart as the sign and continue to hold focus on that. And if it shifts, and at any point you're like, oh, I think we are supposed to have a relationship, but maybe in a different way, then go about it. Nothing has to be black or white, or you're in my life now, you're not in my life forever. So just, I would say, roll with it. But I've seen signs of things before and thought it meant something. And it's more just, can I stay in my truth and not see everything as a sign that I did something wrong? Because even our emotions and thoughts would be thought of as signs, and our thoughts can be crazy. So just anchor in that, in your heart space for that.
Yeah, I love that. I was feeling something very similar, that it just means that there's maybe healing left, or how are you handling the process? So feel into how was your response. And if you feel like, oh, we have words left unspoken, or we need to clear the air a little bit more, are they open to that? Because sometimes people are not open to that. And then depending on that answer, how can you process it? How can you continue to heal or show up for yourself or move through it? So also sometimes it's really hard to just cut things off, you know, complete no contact. And so this is a chance for that separation in a really gentle, loving, conscious kind of a way. And then, like Layla said, maybe in the future, they're called to reconnect in some other kind of way. But yeah, I wouldn't take it as a sign. And I love what you mentioned at the end there, Layla, because sometimes people take everything as a sign when it's not a sign. And then they can never really move forward in life because it keeps pulling them backwards when maybe it's just that energetic signature of something that they haven't fully released or healed. So, mm-hmm. or the other party hasn't released or healed it. So I would look to what more is that situation trying to teach or show us? And that could be as easy as it's trying to remind me that I am my own complete whole person and I can feel comfortable in that. So yes. It's very interesting and very unique for everyone, but I wouldn't necessarily say like jump straight to, oh no, it's a sign, we have to stay together. And I feel that can be a dangerous mental space to be in if we take that approach. Yeah. Okay, so the next question, I'll go in the chat and then maybe we'll take the email one after that. Okay, when we're working on different layers of the auric field as far as clearing and charging it up, information has been coming a lot, and I'd like to know, how do you both integrate these types of downloads or shifts into this physical reality aside from journaling about them? To help, how do we embody this new awareness into the physical realm? Okay, so if I could put this in different, like my words, how I'm understanding it is when we're working through all of the aspects of realities and what can come through when we're healing the energy body, the auric field, and information comes in, then how do we embody it? There's so many ways. I do feel journaling is important, although some of the experiences that we have can be challenging to put into words or to even really know what the best word for it would be. So sitting with it, I love to be in awe of the experiences, meaning if you feel a beautiful frequency come in or you can tell there was just a deep emotional release in this kind of a way. I love to be present in the moment and continue to breathe into the experience. I love to be in the moment and breathe and then put my hand on my body and connect in my body, because sometimes it's energy that's, how do I say it? It's like quantum. It's not necessarily words verbatim as a direct message, but there's upgrades that can happen in the energy field. There's fractures or tears in the aura that can be healed. There's energy that could be released, and maybe we don't know what just happened, but maybe there was like a hook or a dirty cord that was just cleansed. So I would go into having this conversation about what did I just experience and how do I feel now versus how I felt before, and how did my body sense it in the now moment. And then being so grateful, because when this happens to me, I'm so grateful. I know something just happened and I felt a level up afterwards. So then I breathe into the new, fresh, buoyant energy and I take that as a gift. And then I honor that gift by living from a new space. I live from a new awareness and I actively recognize it as a part of my new being when I have this new like inflow of light or a healing or a release of energy. And so you also, again, might understand that, wow, this was related to something specific. And so then journaling through that and getting the mental body, the mental mind into alignment will help you integrate the information and the experience as well. What are you feeling, Layla? How do you work with these kind of situations?
I almost feel like I want a little more information too, but I'm not going to make you divulge that unless you want to. You do or no? Okay, you can unmute if you want and just kind of like follow up with what Amy said and where you're at with that.
So yes. Hi guys. So as far as the experience, it's like I'm tapping into these layers of the aura where I normally wouldn't go into. It'd be just like a simple thing. And these situations come up and yes, emotions arise and I'm like crying in the moment and releasing these things, and I journal through them, I think about them, but it's like, how do I move in this physical realm, fully integrating what I just learned in a way that would support me and uplift me in different spaces that in a sense used to not do that. It was like, I'm sitting outside your aura or on certain layers trying to get your attention. Now that you made the space to do it, how do you move forward with releasing these things in a way that is really beneficial? One, for mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects of myself. I guess that's what I'm trying to ask. Like, other steps that are, like, I love what you gave as examples, Amy, of bringing in the breath, sitting with it, recognizing and bringing in gratitude. Because I feel like I sit with it, but not in those type of fashions. And I love that. So I hope this helps, Layla.
No, it helps. And I think a lot of what Amy said resonated. Whenever I feel like I've broken through something, or wherever you feel like you break through something and you all of a sudden have an aha, an awareness, a clarity, for one, it's going to have a deep release, an emotional release, but holding that gratitude of, oh, thank you. I've been feeling this, and it's been feeling like these different, like, it's like it's been shaking around you and you can kind of feel the aftershocks of it, but you didn't know what the core of it was. And as soon as you open up the core, actually, that is so much of the healing, is just the awareness of itself. And once you know, then you can, I almost like to speak to myself out loud. And while I hold gratitude, I'm like, oh, I see what I've been experiencing. I see that all these experiences have been leading me to this realization, this healing, whatever it is. I see that I've been creating issues for myself, or creating situations for myself that have been leading me here. Thank you. I actually, with that gratitude, I go deep and thank my body. I thank my energy. I thank the universe for showing me what I wasn't able to see. And then I also say, and I no longer need that lesson. It's no longer mine. That belief system is no longer mine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm releasing that. Now I'm stepping into this. And I kind of inform in my mind's eye, or just to my guides, to all parts of me, all my different psyches, all my beliefs, whether we're inner child, the shadow, the ego. I kind of have a board meeting where I kind of send out, hey, this is our new belief system. This is what we're holding in. And I want to thank my guides, higher self, for bringing me situations where I can anchor this more into my day-to-day reality, open my heart and mind so that I can see it with clarity, because you will be faced with situations just like that energy pattern coming back, where it will, you'll kind of get a taste and you'll decide if you're going to respond differently. And it's not necessarily that you have to respond perfectly every time. It's just you go, oh, I know what that pattern is. I've already released that. Okay, thank you. No, push it. However you do, push it with light, love it with light, and then recenter your new reality. My new reality is, my new truth is that that was old for me. That's no longer in my timeline. And the more we do that, the less that energy pattern will come in to see, oh, is it still here? It's like a dying off of a virus almost. You're still going to have some of that there and it will still try, but it won't have a footholding on you. So I think the more and more you do that, and then you move through your life, when you feel that trigger come back where it's like, ooh, this is it. You express the same gratitude that Amy talked about, or what I just spoke about in that moment. Thank you for giving me a chance so that I can trust myself and build that inner resilience. And I know that that's no longer for me. And that's really how you integrate, is by just having the awareness and gratitude and asking for those signs to come, and for you choosing a different pathway. And then it will just become like your new normal almost.
Thank you both so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. So I was just hearing all of this, and it sounds so good, Layla. Thank you. And thank you for the beautiful question. And then I was reviewing the next question from email, which is quite a long email, so I wanted to paraphrase, right? So it's a question about an experience where this person is receiving a lot of signs in the physical, asking for signs, and then actually like receiving, they're coming through with asking to see certain animals, and they're showing up in physical, but it also has been overlapping into dream state. And so the question was, I'm seeing all these signs and I feel like something spiritually is happening behind the scenes. And I really do want to talk about this, because this has happened in my life where it's like, okay, dream state and waking state are now overlapping. And I have felt at times like in this in-between world, in this it's always when I've been in like a transition. And so my overall message when this happens and for this person is that yes, something is being rewritten behind the scenes. And then the deeper question becomes, what is it about? And they were also receiving signs when they were pointing towards doing some spiritual hypnosis sessions. And I think that would be really beneficial and beautiful to help you get clarity on it. But you could also go into meditation and ask for a meeting of your higher self and their higher self and invite some guides or like council beings to come around and hold the space, mediation, and work through the scenario or situation. And sometimes it's just, maybe there's a piece of information, maybe there's a message. And this kind of goes back into soul families and what's going on in the spirit world versus the physical world, that maybe there's some karma that's finally going to clear and heal. And they're just coming around in your thoughts because they're finally working through it and want to apologize or have that last conversation, that closing conversation. So when we have people from our past come through again in dream state or physical, there's usually a reason why. I mean, there's a reason why, especially when we've had other lifetimes with them and soul family. And that's what this member of our community is experiencing, dreams about this person, asking for signs, am I getting this right? And the signs are happening in the physical world. Okay. So it just feels like a spiritual conversation, not necessarily physical. And I love that because sometimes this reworking of timelines, healing of contracts, karmic energy can be happening, but not both human parties are aware of it. And so if we've already said our goodbyes, and maybe especially if it's like not a good healthy relationship, or it could be causing more disruptions in our life, if we are to reconnect in the physical, then if it's showing up in spirit, you can work with it in spirit. And then when this happens personally for me, I love to even go have another reader or healer help me. They hold space and I make sure I'm getting it right. Like I'm making sure I'm getting it right. But you can begin to do this in your own meditations as well. Or when the dreams happen and it's that lucid dream, you know you're dreaming, but it's like you're really not. You can ask questions in that state. Always feel empowered to know you can ask questions for more clarity on why is this person returned to my life and what's going on here. And also know that you have a right in every dimensional realm to say, okay, I want to participate, or no, this doesn't feel right or comfortable to me. So I just wanted to share that. Layla, you read the full question. Is there anything else that I didn't articulate correctly or that you want to add?
No, I mean, I think that was good. And I agree with the higher self meeting. A lot of times that help happens in, you can do it in meditation, like you were speaking about, or it can happen in dream state. And that can be really healing for when it's maybe not appropriate or not going to be the best situation to do it in the physical. But I would also say the fact that you're seeing owls as a sign, I always take owls as like higher intelligence, intuition, kind of like, open awareness, awakening. And so they're predominantly at night, right? They're what is that called when you're awake at night?
Nocturnal.
Okay. I should know that. Nocturnal. And so also when we think of the night, we think of the stuff that maybe is more unconscious and, or more the shadow, that kind of dark to light, waking versus unwaking. And so when we're dealing with the unconscious and those kind of elements, that would make sense where we have wisdom able to perceive through the night, able to perceive through and have a higher sense of awareness and maybe what's been murky. And so it would make sense that it would happen either in your dream state and or through hypnotherapy as well as a way to connect in. So it feels like it's symbolism based upon what you're currently experiencing and being able to perceive and understand where there isn't light in that way. So that's kind of the symbolism and connection I kind of saw with that.
I love that. Yeah. Yes. Ah, so beautiful. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us for this month's Soulwise LA Q&A mentor session. And if you're hearing about us for the first time, you're on the podcast and you want to join next month, then you can visit soulwisela.com and we will announce the next podcast episode and Q&A session as it comes up because we're always in the flow here. Yeah. So we encourage you to join us.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for joining and we'll see you next time.
See you guys soon. Bye.